Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, I'm Ed Byrne. And as my kids get older and the march of time pushes me ever closer to the inevitability of retirement, I've decided I'm in the market for a new hobby. But I seek guidance. So every week, I'll be meeting up with one of my celebrity chums, trying out their favourite pastime, and then interrogating them about it to see if it's for me. And just to make sure I fully divorce myself from the decision-making process, I will also be starting and finishing every episode with a chat with my wife Claire, in order to fully examine whether or not said hobby is a good fit. This is Ed Byrne Needs a Hobby.
We are currently in a rented flat at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
The finest place to be on earth in August.
It's a roller coaster ride. Busy, busy, busy.
Jobs, jobs, jobs.
Jobs. It's a festival where fitness, I find, has a tendency to go out the window. And any kind of health regime one might have had previously have a tendency to take a back seat to drinking and sleeping late.
Yes, they do. That is part of the fringe, yeah. Presumably a bit less as you get older. You know, you can't do it to the same degree, can you?
No. But it's why tomorrow's episode I have a certain amount of trepidation about. Not about the guest, because it's John Robbins, who is a very funny comedian. He won the 2017 Edinburgh Comedy Award. He split it with Hannah Gadsby.
Right, yes, yes. Yeah, I remember, yeah. What are you doing?
CrossFit.
I don't even know what that is.
It's exercises. What? It's going to the gym. It's what it is.
Like, you sound circuits. Knackered just talking about it.
I don't want to do it. I'm really annoyed. And the more I read about John, the more annoyed I am at him for making me do this with him. Because apparently he's also very keen Catan player.
Tiddlywink player.
No, Catan, you know, Settlers of Catan. He apparently came 11th in the British Catan Championships.
Yeah, that's not a hobby either.
It's a game, though. I can do that. It's handy.
Well, this will give you an opportunity to have a night off the booze tonight at the Fringe, and so that you can go and do the CrossFit job without having a hangover. What do you do? What, lifting medicine balls over your head?
I think so. I might have it mixed up with something else, but I think
CrossFit, to me, sounds like a bicycle.
Oh, that's a cross trainer, maybe you're thinking of.
Is that that awful machine that makes you go up and down and forwards and backwards at the same time?
You always call the bastard machine at the gym.
I think I called it something slightly worse than that.
Anyway, that's what I'm doing. So yes, I should probably, you know, stay off the booze tonight.
Maybe you won't.
No, I won't.
Hello, I'm John Robbins. I do CrossFit classes once, twice, three, four times a week.
John Robbins is a terrible person, a fine stand-up comedian and an excellent fitness freak, but a terrible guest, a mean man. He's a mean man. I never thought of him as a mean man. Look at him shaking his protein shake. That sounds like one of those ones that's got the little round metal ball in it to agitate.
It's got a little matrix in the bottom. Yeah. I never, ever, ever
in a million years dreamed I would one day be shaking a protein shake wearing trainers out of breath. It was just so completely opposite, not just to my character, but to my opinions. I hated anything to do with fitness, and I held people who did fitness in a kind of jealous contempt.
Very interesting. So what prompted the turnaround?
If you'd asked me that a year ago, I'd have said I wanted to improve my fitness for golf because I was getting obsessed with golf.
Yes. And can I just pick you up on that as well? Because I was aware that you were a big man for golf, that golf was a big thing for you. I seem to think I've even heard you be interviewed on another podcast about hobbies that Sue Perkins does, where you talked about golf. And I remember thinking then, yes, but my podcast, I will go and do the thing with the people. And I looked forward in mentally. I looked forward to a round of golf with you. And then when it came to you doing my podcast, you decided instead to take me to a CrossFit class.
Well, it's because I want to change your life. And also, golf is 4 hours out of your day. And it's a bit of a faff getting
there.
You
could just play 9 holes.
Still 2 hours. Because when you're at the Edinburgh Festival, your brain doesn't let you have time off. So it thinks you're wasting time. You should be working. So it's... Whereas this, like, I mean, we were in and out of there in half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But I was originally trying to improve my golf fitness. I wanted to hit the ball further.
Yeah.
And I found a gym very near where I lived where a golf pro taught fitness, exercise. So I went there and had a few, like, one-to-one sessions. And he, alongside that, had a CrossFit gym. I was so unfit that after the first training session we did, where he literally was just an assessment.
Right.
He got me to do one squat, one press up. He got me to turn in different ways. The next day, I could not get out of bed.
Right.
It was embarrassing.
Mm.
And I thought, well, you
when
need
was this?
To... This was January last year, so January 2022.
Okay, so you really haven't been doing this very long at all.
Before that, I'd had a couple of sort of three-month periods where I got into swimming and then stopped because I'd get shoulder pain. And I had a period of about 6 weeks when I lived in Lewisham where I went on a running machine at the local gym, you know, twice a week.
Right.
But, you know, pathetic attempts, nothing, never anything else. And looking back now, so I stopped drinking last November.
That was the next question I had for you.
Yeah, it was almost like my body knew before my brain that I needed to make some quite big changes in my life.
Right.
And... weirdly, the fitness, I didn't really get anything of the endorphins that people had told me you'll get. They'd say, oh, it's great for your mental health. You'll suddenly start, the anxiety will go and this, that and the other. Because I was drinking and exercising at the same time. So I was going to the gym twice a week with this personal trainer and I was drinking every night. And I felt good that I was committing to something and doing it.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really getting any... my body wasn't changing that much. I didn't feel brighter. I didn't feel... I just felt good if I was doing something. And then I stopped drinking in November. And almost within weeks, everything changed. And I got... I felt lighter. I felt sort of more taut in my body. My body started to change. I lost... it's not about losing weight. I lost fat and gained muscle. And now it's like CrossFit and 12-step recovery are my two kind of solutions to my problem.
So when you say you gave up drinking then, you felt you were a problem drinker and you've gone 12-step.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So you're telling me things I don't want to hear, is what you're doing.
I know, and I didn't want to hear them either.
Yeah.
And I had heard them for years and years and years. But it's not until you walk out of a gym thinking, do you know what, I've gone to the gym twice a week for 8 weeks. That's not me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realise, actually, you're whoever you want to be. Or you go, do you know what? It's 100 days since I had a drink.
Mm-hmm.
And the first 7 days were hell on earth. And I didn't even notice the last 40 days.
Right.
I stopped counting.
So when I arrived to meet you, you were already working out and then did the CrossFit. You do the CrossFit 3 times a week. What else are you doing then? Obviously, you're playing golf when you can.
Play golf when I can. I mean, this year, because it's run up to Edinburgh and I'm touring in the autumn... it's been a lot more work than, say, it was last year when I got obsessed with golf and tried to get my handicap down and went into that sort of madness.
Mm-hmm.
So this year it's been more comedy-orientated and podcasts and radio shows and stuff. And then I go to, like, 12-step meetings. And that's really like, that's what I do. I've started a bit of meditation, that kind of thing. So I'm that asshole now.
So like here at KFIT, it's very important that we always work within our own means. Mm-hmm. So like what John does and what Ed does doesn't mean to be the same weight, doesn't need to be the same calories or anything. We're very exclusive for everybody. So that's what's important even here in this effort that we're about to do. Mm-hmm. Just to start with, just to get the heart rate up and a little bit of sweat going, we're going to do a minute on the bike. We're going to come off for 15 seconds. We'll then do a minute on the ski erg. I'll show you what that is. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to do over this area some push press with dumbbells. Okay. So to set up the bike, what we're going to do is you pull this lever out, and that just goes up and down. Okay. You want that about hip height. All right. It's arms and legs. Okay. So you kind of want to power more through your legs, but the arms are there to help you as a little secondary. Okay. Straightforward. Okay. Into the ski erg. All right. So what we're looking for here is that you've got these two handles. It's to mimic cross-country skiing, essentially. Mm-hmm. But because we're in a gym environment, we want it to be a little bit more powerful. And you're going to get that wind, that arms moving, big pull towards the floor. And what you're thinking about is slamming the slam ball into the floor. So you've got a ball in your hands, and you're slamming it into the floor. Okay? I'm also using my body weight to pull down. As well as my arms. Body weight, pull. Okay? Think about that power. All right? You'll then get your dumbbells. Okay, so I've got 7.5s here, we've got 12.5s, and we can go down to 5. I've got a little bend in the knees, and you're going to push those weights up, back down, a little bend. Okay, so we'll be doing that for a minute. So again, the amount of reps that you do is for you as well. So if you need a rest after 30 seconds, take 10 seconds, and then continue again. Okay, so determine what you want to do with the weight, and how many reps you want to do in that minute. Okay,
right.
So you'll do bike, ski, push press.
And John, what have you already done this morning? Because you've already been working out before I got here.
I did a bit of ski erg. I did 1,000 metres on the rower. And I did about 20 shoulder presses.
Right.
Which is just like a barbell across.
Yeah.
Just to sort of warm everything up.
Okay.
Which goes well into what we're about to do now.
I did that just before I left the house.
Yeah.
Similar.
Okay, so I'll get the timer started,
right.
And then we've got obviously myself and Pete to encourage you.
Timer's up on the wall there, so you'll be able to see your minute countdown,
uh-huh.
And then you'll have a 15-second rest pause in between each minute.
Cool.
Okay.
We're going to go in 10 seconds.
This is where we learn about the elastic nature of time. How slow a minute can go and how quickly 15 seconds
can
go.
All right, let's get this one hard.
Two, one, off you go.
Okay. Get that battery out.
The tool I quite like to use while we're cycling is the RPM in the top right-hand corner.
Yeah.
Get that going. Yeah. So you can, when we actually start working, you can use that as your gauge.
Okay. What should that be about then?
Well, we'll see. We'll see in a couple of minutes when we start pushing there. Like when we start pushing through our blocks pretty hard, start to gauge and see where you're sitting RPM-wise. So you're roughly around 60 RPM there.
Halfway.
Okay.
Lungs will start to be feeling this. Just keep breathing.
You go on the bike. Think about the bike. It's a cool.
Yeah.
The faster you go, the cooler you get.
Yeah.
10 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Woo!
So you were sitting around 60 RPM the whole minute there.
Well,
so we want you to stay between 60 and 65.
Okay. 10 seconds and then we're going on to your ski erg. All right. So cardio into a little bit more cardio. All right. So remember those handles, you're using that body weight. Okay. In 2, 1. Let's go. All right. So let's think about that technique. And go feet shoulder width apart. And track it. Yeah.
No, you're take one step away.
You can start to really feel that fan.
So just imagine you with that slam ball getting slammed down into the ground.
Well,
there you go.
Great technique.
Nice.
Well done.
All right.
We're over halfway of this minute. Good. Using that body weight. Keep that power.
Tension in the arm.
10 seconds. Good. Okay, try these. All right, we're into our shoulder press. So when you're ready, we're going to be starting here at the shoulders. Little bend in those knees, and that's going to help drive that up. Okay, so we're at little bend in the knees, and we're driving push. Okay, off we go.
Well, dip and drive. Have I sucked up there?
Yeah, no, you're okay.
We're actually a little bit.
Good, there you go. Nice. Yeah. Want to think about big power to the legs, helping the shoulders. Good. We want the core nice and tight here as well.
Don't think too much, just relax into it, just let your body.
Looking really good. You've got 20 seconds left on this one.
Okay. Gone too heavy with it.
You can finish this one. You've got 10 seconds. You can slow the reps down if you need to.
I reckon you can make that.
Yeah, you got it. You've got 5 seconds.
4. One more.
2.
Good.
Wow. Good job. Yeah. Nice. Good. Okay, there you go. Well done.
I've never seen anyone have a Coke.
First time Coke's ever been here.
We'll take a bigger rest now so you can have drinks and we can just relax for a second and then we'll go into 3 different exercises. Okay? Well done. Rest. Great job.
Right, how many times a week would you do this?
3 times a week. I do this for about an hour in a big class. So
right.
You've got people of all different abilities. So some people, like if you're doing barbell work, will just be using the bar.
Yeah.
Won't be any weight on it.
Yeah.
And people scale it down if they've got like mobility issues or they've got an injury. So they might, instead of doing a chin up, they'll put a big band around the bar on their feet so it's sort of assisted.
Yeah.
Or they'll use a box. So there's every single movement can be scaled in some way. And it's good because every time you're doing a workout is something different, a different workout every day, so you never get bored, because I think sometimes people come to the gym and they're sort of not really sure what they should be doing.
Isn't there a thing with CrossFit where there's like one exercise that everybody in the world does on a certain day?
Yeah. So there's a few hero workouts, because CrossFit started as a way of training first responders and military personnel.
Right.
What's the most effective way of preparing someone for those sorts of jobs? And they have workouts named after soldiers or firefighters or policemen policewomen who died. So Murph is the big one.
Okay.
And Murph was a couple of months ago. What is it? 100
air squats.
100 air squats, 200 pull-ups, 300 press-ups, and then how far do you run?
1K run.
1K run.
With a vest.
With a vest, a weighted vest on all those exercises.
Yeah, 1 mile run.
One mile run, yeah. It's intense. I did it, the first one, it took me about 40 minutes, but I was scaling everything.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, no way I could do 200 pull-ups.
And is that how Murph died?
So, Ed, we've just got back from Cave Fit in Edinburgh, where we've done a sort of half-hour CrossFit class. And for anyone who doesn't know what CrossFit is, it's got a quite neat definition, which is functional movement performed at a high intensity level over time.
I think I'd have been even less inclined to do it had I read that specific definition beforehand.
Yeah, so it's basically stuff that mimics the kind of movements you do when you're lifting stuff up, when you are bending down, all those sorts of things that we do throughout our day, but with weight and faster and harder than you'd usually do it. How did you find it?
I'm going to be absolutely honest with you. I absolutely did not want to do this today. And last night, I kept saying, I need to go to bed because I have a fucking CrossFit class in the morning because John Robbins doesn't like golf as much anymore. and then I did stay up, I drank a lot of wine last night, so I was hungover when I arrived.
Yep.
the instructors were remarking on, they'd never seen someone drink Coke in between reps before.
Yeah. You're the first person I've ever seen rush out of a gym to go and grab a bottle of Coca-Cola.
I just wanted I thought that gyms usually have sports drinks.
No.
I need energy to build my strength up is what I need.
Yeah.
And there was no energy in any
there
of those.
There was a lot
drinks.
Of caffeine-related products caffeine, knocking around.
Caffeine itself doesn't give you energy. Though. Energy is measured in calories, and that's what you need to have.
What did you have for breakfast today?
Nothing.
Okay.
I got out of bed and came here. So, I'm sorry, but in answer to your question, so I really didn't want to do it. And I really, even knowing, having exercised that, I really still thought that afterwards I would be like, oh God, I just needed to get through this.
Mm.
I am really glad I've done it.
Yeah.
And part of me is thinking, oh, you know what? I reckon I can do CrossFit hungover.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I don't have to make a massive change in my life and I could still get a little bit fitter.
Well, you know, as someone who's done it both hungover and sober, I didn't get as much benefit hungover, but it was still positive.
Yeah,
you know.
But you said that doing exercise that kind of led you to then give up drinking. No,
it was. Yeah. It was part of a process of realizing I deserved better than I was giving myself.
Right.
And that daily action can have a huge impact, even though at the time it's quite small. Like going to the gym for an hour, mm-hmm. and the grand scheme of things, for it to make a huge amount of difference to your body. You know, not drinking for a day, on the grand scheme of things, doesn't make a huge difference to your body. You string those things together into, like, a habit.
Yeah.
And suddenly, I haven't had a drink for just over 9 months. I am complete night and day, you know, my body, my skin, my mood, anxiety. So you've just got to... For me, it's about what practical stuff can I do?
Your body's so good, you're getting honked at by passing cars.
Yeah, trams, yeah. Yeah, what daily stuff can I do? I need useful stuff.
Mm.
I don't want to... I'm not somebody who reads a book and think, that's me, I'm that person now, because that's no use, because I just forget about it, I get distracted.
Yeah.
I need simple tools that I can use daily.
Do you find that you generally have a lot more time in your day and you're generally far more productive? Now you're not spending most of your time either in a state of inebriation or in a state of hungover.
I don't feel like I'm more productive. What I feel now is, how did I ever find the time to do anything? But now I wake up at 6 and I have my cup of tea and I fiddle around on YouTube and I check my emails. It's not like I'm suddenly being really efficient.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I get that luxurious time of faffing about between 6 and like 8 a.m. as opposed to between 6 p.m. and 3 a.m. You know, I hated mornings. I was a night guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a 2 in the morning, 11 at night, you know, come back to mine for a couple more drinks. I'm that guy.
Yeah, sorry, for a second there, I thought you were...
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I know that you talked on stage about, you know, drinking a lot. I wasn't aware that you were now in a position where you need the meetings. And if you were to have a drink, you'd go on a bender if you had one drink type thing. Are you that?
Yeah, I've never been able to moderate the amount I drink when I do drink.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to control it by moderating the days I drank.
Yeah, I was doing that when I was on the road. I got in the best shape of my life pre-pandemic. My support act, Paul Meyerhog, because of a medical issue, an infection, couldn't drink. and so decided we were getting fit. And we went, and we did. We joined one of those gyms where there's a branch in every town. And we committed to an every other day, like 3 days 1 week, 4 days another week. And we went. And I was running as well. And you have to kind of moderate your drinking, because then you start, once you go down that path, you say, right, well, we can't get drunk tonight because we're hitting the gym tomorrow. Mm. And then that, the, not drinking as much as you normally would, you know, then that all feeds into the whole fitness thing.
Mm.
And then lockdown happened and it just all went to shit.
Yeah.
And I haven't been doing anything. Like, what we just did there, I would have been able to do that, no bother, a few years ago.
Well, you did do it really well.
I'll be dead tomorrow. I won't be able to move.
But the thing is, like...
We are sitting in the centre of Edinburgh right now, Linda. Yeah, so there is a lot of noise. There's a man, that's a Lamborghini, I believe, that definitely needs its muffler fixed.
Yeah. I think, like, people say, I want to get fit, or I want to be sober, or I want to... They've got this sort of goal they're obsessed with. Mm-hmm. Whereas actually it's more about, like, what's sustainable? What daily or twice daily or thrice or three times a week or twice a week? What thing can I do forever? As opposed to going... There's a book which I haven't read, but I will summarise based on someone else's summary, called Atomic Habits, where the guy basically says that people will start a journey thinking, I want to run a marathon.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of nonsense. What you should be saying is, I want to become a runner. I want to be someone who runs.
Yeah, that's a funny thing, because I don't feel that way. I need a goal. The moment when I moved to the country... I started running because it was just a nice place to run. Mm. And as soon as I went on my third run, I signed up for a marathon because I just felt like this all has to be for something. Like, now I do 10K runs, but I always like try and have one booked in.
Yeah.
A local village will have one. Well, I always feel like I need to set that as a goal.
It's process as much as a goal. It's like, how do I want to live, not what do I want to necessarily achieve? Because you can be a runner forever. But if once you've done the marathon, then what do you do? Do you just sort of stop?
Yeah, I did. After the first marathon, I didn't do another one.
Yeah.
That was that. It's too long.
It's way
just too long. We're not made for that kind of distance. But 10K, I find, is a good distance. Manageable, it's, you know, and it's...
But dieting's a good example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a goal to lose weight is a really good goal to have. But the reason people put weight back on is because they've reached their goal.
Yeah.
And then they give up the habit.
Yeah.
Whereas the habit needs to be something that's sustainable forever, really.
So you don't have a goal, as it were. You are just someone who goes to the gym.
Yeah.
And is that a difficult thing to deal with? Because that makes you a different person to the person you used to be. Like you just said you never thought you'd be someone who'd be shaking a protein shake and out of breath.
Yeah.
Is there a part of you? I feel like I'm a bad therapist right now. I feel like I'm going, is there a part of you that feels let down? Or wishes you could go back to the way you were? Or are you just... like a shark moving forward?
No, you're 100% right. There is a part of me that will always miss the life I had and be attracted to it. And there's also a part of me that has a fantasy of being a person I can never be. So yesterday I was on my way to my show. My show starts at 8:50, and I walked past a woman at about 10 to 8, sat on her front step, drinking a glass of wine and having a cigarette. And the emotion in me of, that's all I want.
Yeah.
I want to be the person who sits on their front step on a Friday evening, finish work, suddenly there's this huge exhale of stress and pressure. She's having a glass of wine on a step and having a cigarette. That's all I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I have tools to deal with that now.
Right.
So I stop that going into my head and turning into an obsession. That leads me to drink, because I can't be that person.
Mm-hmm.
Because I might have the glass of wine on the step and the cigarette and feel great.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll have another glass of wine. And then I'll have another glass of wine. And then I'll go back in the house. And then I'll put on some sad music. And I'll open 6 cans. Mm-hmm. And then I'll open some cider. And then I'll pass out at midnight.
Yeah.
The fantasy of the woman on the step never has existed for me.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, I totally... You know, I have to... Not constantly, and less as time progresses, but I have to have a relationship with those fantasies and also those memories, because, you know, alcohol isn't all bad, and it certainly wasn't. It was good in a good part of my life for much longer than it was a bad part of my life, but it got to a point where it was so damaging that it was either stop or calamity, really.
At the gym, John. The gym.
Yeah.
I know for a fact you're a Queen fan.
Yeah.
The music they play in gyms sucks.
Yeah.
Is that not an issue for you?
Well,
like, after we did our little class there, because we were recording pod, you know, and because we had the place to ourselves, it was silent. And then as soon as we were done, they turned the music back on, and I suddenly remembered why I hate the gym.
Do you know what? When I was having personal training sessions, the classes would happen, and then I'd go one-to-one with this guy, and now I just do the classes. The classes will be playing this, like, atrocious, yeah, like, Eurobeat kind of dance, awful, yeah, stuff, really way too loud. And then they leave, and my instructor would go, "What do you want to listen to?" And I go, "What do you want to listen to?" And he goes, "A bit of Fleetwood Mac." And we'd sort of put on, like, Fleetwood Mac or Simon and Garfunkel, mm-hmm, doing our workouts. But they do play quite a lot of Queen.
Don't Stop Me Now, I presume.
Yeah, a lot of that. Under Pressure, We Will Rock You, all that kind of stuff. So I don't like, it's more the volume. I don't like really loud stuff. So sometimes I take earplugs to the gym, which is super lame.
Yeah, you got to work out with your own music, which you can, no matter how loud you have it on, you can still hear their music leading through it.
Tell you who's great for a workout is Half Man Half Biscuit. Okay. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but that's who I listen to.
I know
when
some
I'm,
of their stuff.
I'm working out, yeah.
Okay, so we'll go into our next block here. So a little bit more weight, but also that control, okay? So we've got barbell set up here. We're going to go into our deadlifts, okay? So essentially it's picking up the weight from the floor up to standing nice and tall, all right? So to do that, I like my feet just underneath my hips, nice and controlled, so my whole foot is flat and I've got good power. My hands are on the outside of my legs. I want it to be nice and wide with those hands. My inside of my elbows on the outside of my knees. Back nice and straight, I'm going to lock those shoulders back and down, so my back's straight, I'm going to stand up with it. Okay, nice and smooth. Same thing going back, you're going to push those hips back, so towards the wall, so I slide the weight down my legs, and then I'm going to bend those legs to that start position. We're then going to go into a step up, okay? So we're going to do this box up slightly, we're going to be nice and controlled. We can use weights here if you want, but we don't need to, we can do body weight, alright? Foot up, we're going to just step up, so both feet together, and back down with the same leg. Now I'm just going to switch legs, up on the right, back down on the right. Switch legs, up on the right, down. Okay? And the last exercise is going to be a bit of core. We're going to be doing a high plank, okay? So a high plank, just into that push-up position, on our hands, body nice and straight. We're just going to hold that for the minute as well. All good?
Cool.
Ready,
yeah? Perfect. Let's get set up.
So you're lifting what weight then, John?
This will be 55 kilos.
Is that 15 bar?
15 bar, yeah.
Yeah, 55 kilos.
To my 25 kilos.
Yes. Yeah, so we're looking for that lats on, back nice and straight. All right, keeping that close to the body. Okay, two, one. And when you're ready, like I said, this is about quality, not quantity.
Nice.
Good. Good. Well done. Well done.
I was just about to say that, just a little bit wider, and I think you'd be in a good position there.
John. Good, yeah, really good. Back's really good.
Good. Well done, Ted. Nice. So we're driving through the heels, just focus on driving through the heels, and if it doesn't feel like you haven't got a full drive through both heels, it's okay to lift your toes up.
You've got 20 seconds left.
Got soft trainers on, so it might force you forward a little bit.
Okay, good. Shoulders back as well. You've got 10 seconds left. Great form, team. Really good. Keep chipping over there.
3, 2, 1. Rest.
Well done.
Excellent.
Great form.
Woo!
Yeah. You've done that before, Ed.
I did. I went through a phase of that. The 5x5 strong lifts.
Yeah, good.
I haven't done it. Long time though.
Yeah, really good. Okay, we're going into those step ups now. Alright, so the line's made, that minute started, so let's start. Just nice balance, yeah, explosive movement still, even though it's one leg, power on the way up. Good, there you go. I like to switch my legs every time, just make sure we're not going up on the same leg two reps in a row.
Yeah, full foot on the box, so full heel.
Yeah.
So no heel hangs.
drives to the heel there.
Good.
Well done. That's 30 seconds to go.
I probably shouldn't
have thought I started with
that. It's fine. Keep on moving.
Get to the end now.
Hold on. 2 seconds.
Okay, those legs are feeling it.
Now 10 seconds is tall.
Really good.
Last 6 seconds.
Good. Great job. 3, 2, 1. Rest.
Okay, nice. Good.
Cheeky one there.
Yeah, good job. And then one, the plank is to obviously fight that core, but then we're also going to be breathing. Okay, we want to bring the heart rate down a little bit in this minute, okay?
So you're trying to find press up plank position, so your wrists, elbows and shoulder are in alignment. So just come forward over the top. There you go. Then you can pinch the hips up a little bit. So tuck your backside up towards the ceiling. There you go. That's great. So we're just trying to find that full stack position from wrist, elbow into shoulder. And if we're fully stacked, then we won't get any extra strain on the shoulder, which would be a good solid position. And if it feels like things are dipping a little bit, just try and pinch the hips up towards the ceiling. Good.
That's good.
Keep holding.
Picks up a little bit there if you can. There you go.
Good.
Okay, embrace that. Squeeze.
And of course,
squeezing hamstrings, glutes, back, core. Everything's on.
This also prepares you for all that hot Edinburgh Fringe sex you'll be having.
We just freeze over the other person, just intimidating, just try and stare them out.
Come on, hon. The anticipation is what's all about. 15
seconds. Last 7.
Well done.
Hold the time. Hold the time. Let's go. 3, 2, 1.
Okay.
Ah!
Well done.
Good job.
Well done, man. Well done,
nice.
That's great.
Great job. Yeah, well done.
Thank you very much. Thank you for telling me.
Looking good.
Well done, mate.
Well done. Well done.
Oh, thank you, K-Fit.
Yeah, that was really good.
How come we didn't get to do battle ropes? That's what I always think of when I think of CrossFit. Heavy ropes.
No, I don't think battle ropes is a CrossFit exercise. I think that's like a boot camp thing.
Am I confusing CrossFit with boot camp?
And boot camps, I mean, this big generalisation, but the great thing about CrossFit is you scale it. So I do CrossFit classes with, you know, men and women in their 70s, even early 80s, I think. Mm-hmm. Whereas a boot camp, everyone's doing the same thing. So if you're, say you're really overweight and it's your first experience of fitness, you're going to think, fuck that.
Right.
I can't do that. And exercise should never be about making people feel they can't do things.
Right.
It should be like, okay, you can't do this. This is too heavy. This is too fast. What can we do? Where can we start?
Mm. What about with you? What about apps and metrics and things like that? Because I find when I exercise, I get obsessed with that aspect of it, with the data. Do you have any? As somebody who, as you say, you know, focuses on certain things and tries to switch off the brain, do you get lost in that?
I am a spreadsheet guy.
Right, there you go.
But
now we get to it.
I'm less of a spreadsheet guy than I used to be. I used to keep track of my alcohol units on spreadsheets. That was how mad I was.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a little app that my gym use where I can just log my scores and it'll tell me, you know, what my personal best is. I'm not obsessed with it, though, but it's nice to have a record so that when you're doing an exercise, you know how heavy to go.
Yeah.
And it is good. It's nice to see a bit of progress because that's what, you know, progress is a big thing for me. What's the next right thing to do? What's the next good decision to make?
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a good way of guiding yourself through life, I think.
So what's the next good decision then?
The next good decision is go home, have a nice lunch, and work on my show. I've got a day off tonight. I'm going for a meal. I can eat as much as I want now because I've done some good stuff.
Look at other people in the gym and go, okay, now you're too into it. I don't want to be that guy.
Well, do you know what? I think that guy is a big barrier to CrossFit, especially has a reputation for a breed of man, especially, but some women, the CrossFit wanker.
Mm.
And it's sort of like that Joe Rogan bro type kind of, you know, vaping weed stuff, talking about conspiracy theories, doing keto diet.
Yeah.
But it's like any pursuit, the people who are most vocal about it are often the worst promotional material for that thing.
Yeah.
So not everyone who likes driving their car is Jeremy Clarkson.
Yeah, yeah.
And I found, I've never met anyone like that at the CrossFit gym I go to.
Mm.
Mostly it's people from of all ages, of all abilities, of all shapes and sizes, wanting to do something positive, and you can fit it into a little window, 50 minutes, an hour. And it's a bit of community as well, which is really important. I live on my own. I don't know anyone in the town I live in. So I'm not particularly confident person around strangers, but I now have 30 people I can have a 2-minute conversation with.
It's difficult to commit to, though. You're meant to go on tour, right? So is that, will that be, what are you gonna, what are you gonna do when you're on tour? You're gonna just find a CrossFit class every town you go to?
No, I will just try and hit twice a week. If I can do twice a week, I'll be happy in the morning, and then like that my tour manager will drive me in the afternoon. And you know, if there's 5 days when I can't go, it's not the end of the world, because the good thing about it is you're sort of, it's an investment in my old age, basically. Is I hope I'm makes me more healthy and mobile when I'm older, but it also means if I do miss a week, or I do eat badly, or I do kind of let something slide, I've sort of built up this bank of good health.
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't mean that's then an absolute nightmare.
Yes, you don't seem like somebody who's swapped one addiction for another.
You know, I'm not addicted to going to the gym. I just see it as a really important sort of foundation in my week for keeping my head clear, because what I'm addicted to actually is switching my brain off. And you will know what that's like, being a comic and thinking about yourself all the time and trying to articulate what you think about things. It's quite a self-obsessed job.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one thing we're all guilty of, especially up here, is being in self. Like, all we really care about is everything in terms of us.
Mm-hmm.
So switching my brain off, whether it's with alcohol or Wordle or the gym or golf, I'm just trying to pick the things that switch off this voice in my head that are the least destructive, basically.
I thought this might be the one episode where we didn't talk about ADHD, but you keep saying things that make me, that remind me of the diagnosis of ADHD. Oh, I don't suppose you've had one of those, had you?
No, I've had. So I'm, the tour show I'm doing, Howl, is about the sort of why I stopped drinking, really. And the more I've talked about that part of my life, the more people have, in the kindest way possible, sent me lots of potential diagnoses of myself on social media. But really, I mean, I don't have ADHD. I'm not on the spectrum. I don't have a mental illness. I'm an alcoholic. And I'm in self a lot. So the problem is me.
Yeah.
So I would say my diagnosis is being human, and I am trying to find more productive ways to solve that problem.
So pitch it to me as a hobby.
The one thing that's pretty unique to CrossFit is all of the movements you do. Even though you're using barbells or kettlebells or dumbbells or whatever, they're all functional movements.
Mm.
So a good way someone described it is a burpee, which is like one of the most
tortuous
things. A burpee, which is basically sort of a press up, then you then jump
then
up
you jump
a press
in,
up.
In the air, yeah.
But someone said, if you're 80 years old and you feel lightheaded and you think you're going to faint, a burpee is basically teaching you how to fall and get up.
Right.
And but I'd feel good now. I just feel bright. I haven't been to the gym for 4 days, maybe, because festivals, you know, it takes up a lot of time doing two shows up here. I just feel a little bit lighter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take that with me throughout today and maybe a bit of tomorrow, and then it'll die down a bit, and then I might feel a bit glum and a bit lethargic, and then I'll go again, and it just gives you that feeling.
Doing that this morning as well, it did remind me of when I used to do it, of when I was fit. And I did quite like it. I liked being fitter.
Yeah.
Especially just having kids. Just the idea of being able to, I know this sounds like catastrophizing, but, you know, to be able to pull your 12-year-old from a river or a burning car or something like that, you know, just to prepare for that.
Or lift them off the work surface without doing your back in.
Yeah, yeah.
You
or
know. Just,
exactly. Or help them get down from a tree because they've climbed too high. Whatever. Any of that kind of stuff. Yeah. You just need to, it does help.
Mm.
You don't have to be a muscle-bound lunk, but it just helps to be stronger.
Are you more jaded now than you were before?
Well, first of all, you were there. Did I stay off the booze last night?
No, I think we had one of our latest nights out ever.
No, did not stay off the booze last night at all. But what did I discover today? I can do CrossFit hungover.
Okay, so this already scores some good points.
Oh, it was better off to do it without. They were even remarking on it. They'd never seen somebody do a CrossFit and swig Coke in between sets.
Didn't that make you burp?
A little bit.
You need energy.
Well, you're supposed to have energy before you go, and then you get a bit more by doing it. You're not supposed to go on your knees with no breakfast.
CrossFit is its range of exercise. They do a lot of lifting using weights, but it's supposed to be in a way that, you know, for strength and resistance training for everyday life. So as if you know for lifting bags and just your general everyday. It's not about becoming a weightlifter, but you use weightlifting and a range of weightlifting equipment and exercise equipment. So we're doing like pull down things with a ski yoke and stepping up on a box and cycling and also deadlifts with a barbell, like a whole range.
Okay,
done in circuits.
This sounds to me like just going to the gym with a fancy new name.
Yeah.
You know when we went to the gym? And
yes.
That person made us a circuit around the thing, and we had to pull things down and push things up. And
yeah, but that wasn't anybody there making you do it, you know, a minute of this and then a minute of that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
More circuits and then rest. But as I said, the circuits, really, our conversation was more about general getting fit and giving up drink than anything else.
And just
like, this is all part of John's overall health improvement since he gave up booze in November, because he had gotten into it to help him improve
drinking his, or CrossFit.
No, he'd gotten into drinking
to improve his health.
Right. He'd gotten into CrossFit to help him improve his golf swing, and
right.
He realised that he wasn't getting the most out of it because he was basically, you know, still drinking, which,
like a comedian at the Edinburgh Fringe,
which still has, you know, takes its toll on you. So he's realised if he was going to take this seriously, that he had to address. So yes, he was telling me things I already knew in my heart but didn't really want to hear, which is, if you really want to take getting healthy seriously, then continuing to drink every night is probably not the best way to go about it.
I don't think it needed somebody else to tell you that.
That's the other thing. I went to meet him there. He was already lifting weights. He was already doing a workout, which he then had to take a break from to do our workout.
Oh, wow. Does he like the social element of it? Because presumably you're doing it in a class of a few of you.
Yeah.
You're not doing it like on your own in the gym.
And that's the other good thing about CrossFit, is that with a lot of other classes, everybody's doing the exact same thing. Whereas the thing with CrossFit, like, he was lifting a different weight
than
the weight I was lifting.
Yeah.
So you tailor it according to what
your
you can
strengths.
Manage.
Yeah. It's very supportive, presumably. I mean, I suppose there'll be lots of people there who are like, look at me, I can lift the strongest compared to the lady in her 50s who can't.
No, I think it, I don't
is
think
it a very supportive environment?
Yeah, I don't think people look down on who's lifting less than they are and like that. I think it's all about everybody goes there together and everybody pushes themselves as hard as they can push themselves.
Okay, so here's a question. This could be potentially a very good hobby, because obviously I'd quite like you to be fitter, as would you. And you're about to embark on a great big long tour. Is it something that you can dip into at any gym around the country, or do you have to be a signed up member, or can you just go and join a class and you know sort of you already know your limitations and you know what you should be lifting or how many squat thrusts you should be doing, and you could just go and do it.
How many squat thrusts?
Well, I don't know.
That one from
I know, I know.
Squat thrusts. Remember them? I could commit to a Monday morning at a local one.
Once a week here. Isn't enough, though, is it?
I think I should maybe walk before I should run, by which I mean maybe I should start running again.
Well, I was thinking
CrossFit. You know, there was a time when I would have taken that whole thing in me stride, whereas because I haven't been exercising at all, I know I'm going to be aching for a week now. Or maybe I'll just rejoin that gym that I was in that has branches everywhere and just go back to the strong lift program that I was doing. And that's better than nothing.
And then CrossFit at home on a Monday and then pounding the pavements of Paisley on a Wednesday.
Maybe.
But do you think it's something that you could get into? I think I could get into it. I suppose it's the sort of thing that if you hate one exercise that you're doing, you're only doing it for a minute and then you move on and actually the next one might be okay. So if I was on the bastard machine for a minute, I'd be swearing all the way through it to myself. But then I'd go and do a plank and that'd be fine.
I still would have preferred a round of golf or a game of Catan.
Ed Byrne Needs a Hobby was presented by me, Ed Byrne. Obviously. The music was by Clementine Arnold and it was produced by Laura Grimshaw.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.